Welcome to the You Are Covered podcast. Welcome back. Hey, I'm Hannah Lynn. I'm your host. And today we are going to dive right into a great topic. It's how to care less about what others think about you. Now, before I dive in, I do want to say this is like something that I think everyone has found themselves in a, like, this is a work in progress, right? So like everybody probably has experienced feeling like they care so much about what others think, and you can swing on either side of that, right? And for me, I feel like with this topic, I definitely swing from one side to the other, and sometimes it can even hold us back, right? From doing really what God has called us to be and do. And sometimes that can get in the way, just so many things. Like I'm just thinking about, I don't think I would have done radio if I thought too much about what other people thought. I don't think that I would have started a YouTube channel if I thought what other people cared so much about what other people thought about me, right? And the list can go on and on and on and on. But there's definitely some times when I feel like I care so much about what other people think. I don't want conflict. I don't want to create a divide with people that I care about, right? So how do we juggle that? Like from one side saying, okay, I really, really care about what certain people think about me. I care about what my family thinks about me, but also I want to live out what I feel like God has called me to. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Do you care about what others think of you? And are you a people pleaser? Do you make decisions solely on what others think? Then this podcast episode is for you. Caring about what other people think has so many layers to it. On one hand, we don't want to live a life that only cares about ourselves, but we don't want to live a life in the fear of consequences of others not liking, disagreeing, or judging us. This can come from many other life experiences where we actually are affected by how someone thought of us. Like this could happen with a job. Like if you did something and a boss or a coworker didn't like it, that could affect your life, right? So we can, like, these anxieties and fears, they have some validity, right? Especially if we've had something happen to us in the past. Maybe it was a parent or an authority figure who used their power to control our decisions. Or it could have been a group of friends who would leave you out of everything if you disagreed with the one person calling all the shots. We've had that happen to us, right? What I just described are two very common situations that we absorbed growing up. And we can talk more about where this comes from the mental health side of things, further on in this episode. So keep listening. I am a huge fan of sustainable fashion. You guys know this. And one company that I really admire is called Allbirds. I've been using their shoes for a while now. I have a pair that I have had for like 5 years and I still wear it. You know why? Because not only are their products sustainably made, but you can also wash your shoes. Like this is a game changer for my husband and I. You can just throw it in the washer and bam, your shoes are washed. I just love that about these shoes. So they have really amazing workout wear and they also have their shoes that are just top notch. So if you want to check it out, I put a link to Allbirds in my show notes and you can find the link right there. So check it out and start shopping. Enjoy. But today I want you to start thinking about what does that look like spiritually? What does that look like theologically? Today I want to start you off with a devotional all about how you can have a whole healthy relationship with your creator. We're going to start there, okay? Because personally for me, that's where my self-confidence has come from. That's where my people-pleasing ends. It's all with my relationship with Jesus. And that's my opinion. That's where I have found so much strength and peace so that I care less about what others think, and my primary decision-making process is thinking about what God would have for me, right? It was interesting because I was thinking about this a few weeks ago when someone made a status about how do you think that your relationship with God is going? Like, how do you measure your relationship with God? And it was like a status, and I thought it was such a good question. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, wow, I have grown so much to where I don't think of even needing to measure my relationship with Jesus. I think that's such a people thing. I think that's what we do sometimes with others. We're like, okay, where am I at with this person? Like, I care a lot about my spouse. Like, do they care about me? And, you know, there's measuring that can be done. But with our relationship with God and with Christ, when you have a whole relationship with him to where you know that he's your savior, there's nothing you can do or add to that relationship. You just can be. It is so freeing. There's no agenda. There's no striving. There's no disappointment. There's no surprises. Being with my God is the healthiest relationship I have and will ever have because of that fact. I feel known and grounded. So that's like what grounds me with all my other relationships is this relationship with my Heavenly Father. So today I just want to share with you that you can have that kind of relationship with your Creator. I don't know where you're at when you open up this podcast, but this is just a short little, we're just going to go through a few verses. And at the end, if you feel like you want to have that kind of relationship, one that grounds you, and I'm just speaking from experience, like my life experience, like there's so many things that I would not have been able to do or have the confidence to do if I wasn't grounded in the fact that I know who I am in Jesus Christ. We struggle so with so many things in our interpersonal relationships. One of those things can be perfectionism, competition, jealousy. Many of those things come from like a self problem. We just naturally want to please ourselves. We want others to think well of us. And many of those things come from something that the Bible calls sin. It's missing the mark of a perfect love. See, when God created us, we had this perfect relationship with him in the garden. Adam and Eve, if you know the story, it was perfect. They were able to live with God, right? And God wants that. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to be able to spend time with him. Like, I just think about how beautiful a garden can be. And the fact that Adam and Eve just were walking around with God is just the most beautiful thing. Well, then, you know, the enemy came in and told Adam and Eve, hey, you can be actually like God. You don't need to just have a relationship with him. You don't need him, actually. You just need to be, you can be like God. And they're like, okay, how? And they both ate the apple, and that's how sin entered the world. So when you look at and you peel back what sin is, the definition is missing the mark of holiness. And we can't be like God. And so that's like the first step for having a right relationship with God is recognizing I'm not God. I'm never going to know 2 seconds in front of me. So how am I supposed to be acting like I know so much about life? So humbling ourselves, that's like the first step, and knowing that we can't be God of our own lives. That is something that, praise Jesus, God can do for us, and we don't have to do that, right? So if you look at it, like all of the things that sin is, it's really, if you peel it back, it's this pride of like wanting to take control of our life and kind of replace this replace God in our lives. That you can read that story in Genesis 3:5. So in between our relationship with God, there's lies, there's jealousy, wanting to be like him, controlling our situation. And in the Old Testament, followers of God, the ones that wanted to have a relationship with him, would have to make sacrifices, would have to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. They also had to follow something called the law. We know this is like the Ten Commandments, you know, but there's so much more to it. And it's actually impossible for us to follow these rules and have a relationship with a holy God. And that's why the story doesn't end with religion. God desires to have a relationship with all of his creation, right? See, because God loved the entire world, he sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. He's like the bridge. He's the penal sacrifice, that's what it's called, which means that he took our the place of our sins, the punishment that we deserved, so that we could have a right relationship with God again. And I'm going to read to you Hebrews 8. It's such a great passage for understanding what Jesus does for us. It's a little heavy. So Hebrews 8, 1 through 7, verse 13. Now, the main point of what we are saying is this. We do not have a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not a mere human being. Every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already priests who offer the gifts described by the law. They serve as a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain. But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he was a mediator and superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. For if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, there would be no place to have sought out for another. By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. So that's kind of describing like the Old Testament. I know it's a little heavy, but, and you know, you caught the Moses and the Ten Commandments. And then at the very end in verse 13, you can read this for yourself. It's saying that, you know, Jesus has replaced the old covenant and has brought us into a new covenant, which means that, you know, he has replaced what the Old Testament followers of God was following. So he came in and he paid the price, right? So now we can have a right relationship with God. So if we believe that we are not God and that we cannot save ourselves, we can't be a good person, you know, and find our way into heaven on our own, and that Jesus actually paid the price by dying and rising again, right? On the third day, conquering death, we get to have this beautiful right relationship with God. It's all about love and relationship. So that's why religion ends with the Old Testament. But the whole time, it's all about relationship. Even though, you know, in the Old Testament, there's laws. It's like, it really is, like if you read the Old Testament, it really is like Game of Thrones. And like, it's just so insane, but it's just an illustration of how God used sinful, broken people to bring about a right relationship through Jesus in the end, so that we can have a right relationship with him. It's a beautiful story, and that's why it's so powerful. And I know that for me, it has been such a powerful gift in my life, having this relationship with my Heavenly Father, with my Creator. And I just want that for you. I hope you hear that. I hope you don't hear like, you know, any kind of judgment or anything. We are all on this journey together. And I just really, really desire you to have this kind of relationship, because it really has changed my life. And it has helped me to care way less about what people think and so much more about what my Heavenly Father thinks of me, which is unchanging. It doesn't change because of something that I didn't do or did do. It is completely the same day in and day out. And that is so grounding. This takes a level of faith to believe. I'm not going to deny that. But once you do jump in and you're like, I'm going to have this faith that God is real, that he wants a relationship with me, you can do incredible things. Like if you want to read through, I'm not going to read through the whole thing, but Hebrews 11. And you know, if you're a Christ follower right now, maybe this is something that you could do later on today. And it's such a good reminder of the beautiful things that by faith people were able to do. And like, I think about Abraham. I think he's like such an interesting story, but he was basically, he and his father like worshiped the sun, and it's an it's an object, right? And once God called him out for no good reason, like he was totally random, nothing special about him, and God called him out and said, hey, I am God and I want you to follow me. Pick up your whole family and we're gonna travel. And he goes on this big adventure. And that's basically, you know, how the Old Testament came about with a lot of the different stories, you know. So it's Abraham had many sons. He's like the father of Israel, right? So he has such an exciting story and it all happened. And, you know, there's probably so many naysayers about like saying like, okay, this is, what are you doing? Like, why are you bringing all your family around? Like, traveling and going places, like he probably had no idea that these places even existed. And God was just like, follow me. And he did. And I think about Noah building the ark. And, you know, because of him, like, I think Sarah is mentioned there by faith. Even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made promises. There's just like a whole list. And that's where we get to come in and we get to live that way. We get to live in a way that we get to say, I don't really care what other people think. If this is what God wants for me in my life and I feel called to this and I feel like God's designed me for this, cool, do it, you know. And you don't need like a whole big sign to do what you feel called to do. But that's how we get to walk out our faith, is in a relationship with the Lord. And there's not a guidebook. The Bible really isn't like a to-do list. It really is pointing towards a relationship with God. So there's a whole bunch of faith taking that we have to be doing on this journey. And that takes caring less about what others think. Okay, so I'm going to jump right into the fashion news segment. And this is kind of funny, but bear with me. This past week, we went through something called like exposure therapy. And it really wasn't that fun for me to learn. Like, it was kind of stressful. We were talking about like, it's just wild to think about. But basically, we were shown like videos of people puking, because the fear of puking can be like debilitating for some people. And they actually sometimes end up in therapy for it. So obviously, so we were going through that this week. And I just think about it just blows my mind. So anyways, it seems like torture therapy, but it actually really works for a lot of clients, especially clients that have social anxiety and OCD tendencies. And so it was just really fascinating. Anyways, I was kind of thinking about how this probably can help, and fashion can help you care less about what other people think. Like, people actually have, and I tend to have a little bit more of this, like some social anxiety. I was homeschooled. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Yeah. But if you have any kind of social anxiety, or you are afraid to step out of your comfort zone, it is proven by data that if you continually make steps to change that behavior, to like, say you're worried that someone's going to not like your outfit and going to say something, wear the most crazy outlandish outfit, and I promise you someone's going to say something, the anxiety will rise. But the goal is for you to, after the situation is done, you'll think, oh wow, I lived through that. That is the goal of exposure therapy. It's so fascinating. Anyways, so that was just one example, is like watching puking videos. That's something that you do in exposure therapy for someone who has a phobia of puking. I was like, maybe I have one. No, I don't. It is hard to watch those videos though. Anyways, when you take fashion and you try and stand out, and you know, maybe you're a little bit more self-conscious about your body, and maybe you're a little bit more self-conscious about what people think, I think fashion's a great tool for you to kind of recover from how to care less about what other people think. Like, I think that if you start dressing in the way that you want to present yourself, that you enjoy and that you're having fun with, and tell yourself, if you have a little anxiety around what other people are going to say or think, tell yourself it's going to be okay. I'm going to live through it if someone says something. And if someone says something, that's their own insecurity and their own lack of creativity, right? So anyways, I think that using fashion to kind of break the chain of fearing and caring too much about what other people think is great. What usually happens in exposure therapy, you realize you live through embarrassment or the comments. It actually doesn't matter what you wear if someone has a problem with it. It's just not your responsibility. And I think fashion can really help you push that line of trying to not care so much about what others think and about what you look like, your decisions in your fashion choices. How to care less about what others think. I found this article on Psychology Today, 8 Ways to Stop Worrying About What Others Think About You. And I found it to be just so good that I'm just going to add a little bit of my thoughts to it. But I want to read most of it to you because I thought it was really, really helpful. And I think too, you know, maybe you don't have social anxiety, but I think everyone kind of coming out of COVID has felt a little weird about like being around people or maybe you're totally fine. I don't know. But I feel like a lot more people have been feeling a little hesitant around others. And I think that these tips are really helpful. We want to create a new mindset. If you are having any kind of social anxiety, if you are worrying about what others think about you, maybe you come to a gathering and then when you leave, you're like thinking about all these things that other people are saying and you overthink kind of the whole situation. We don't want that. That sounds stressful. So let's create a new mindset. If you recognize that you are someone who's anxious about being liked, there are some steps that you can take to have healthier relationships with others and with yourself, because it really does have to do with your inner peace. And like I said earlier, grounding, which I found grounding a relationship with God is very, very grounding. The first thing to do is keep things in perspective. It's said that people would care a lot less about what others think about them if they knew how little others think about them. And I think that's so true. Honestly, people are not going to remember what you said at a party in a year, in a month. You know, it's going to be okay. Secondly, question your thinking. Remember that, like, sometimes, especially if we have any kind of mental health challenges, we tend to focus on the negative. And that can be patterns of thinking that can hurt our mood or behavior. And we need to come out of a social gathering and think of only the positive things that happened if you're having any kind of anxiety around people and what they think about you. Let go of perfectionism. Okay, this is so crucial. And there's a lot of ties between social anxiety and perfectionism. It can be hard to shake the feeling of that if you don't get everything just right, you won't be loved and admired. This is fruitless. That's what Psychology Today says. Not only because perfection is an illusion, but because what people think about you is more to do with them than with you. So drop that. You don't have to be perfect to be loved. Fourthly, get to know yourself. What do you like? What do you really, really like? What are the choices about your career, relationships, pastimes that you really, really enjoy about yourself? And then also think about the ones that you've done only because they're going to impress other people or they're going to please other people. So kind of like do some self-evaluating. Allow yourself to try new things and wonder, what would I pursue or enjoy if I wasn't worried about being judged? And I think that's so crucial. Find your tribe. Somewhere out there, there are people who can identify with you and appreciate you for who you are. Maybe you're just around people who don't appreciate you. Maybe they don't have the same thing, interests. It's nothing to do with you. Honestly, it's just maybe because they don't understand you or think similarly. Or maybe they're just not able to be around people who are different from them and they're closed-minded. And that's a them problem, not a you problem. Allow yourself to be vulnerable. It can be terrifying to go against the grain and speak out, take a risk, or face disapproval. But decide what matters to you. Trust yourself and go for it. We don't grow by always playing it safe. We grow by allowing us to have the chance to fail. 7, accept a helping hand. The anxiety you feel about what others think can sometimes be overcome with a little self-awareness. But in some cases, especially for those with underlying trauma or mental health issues, professional help can help you get to the root of your feelings. Allow yourself to reach out for the care you need rather than prolonging your suffering. This is huge. Honestly, counseling is so good. And again, it's preventative. It's just make sure that you're not even more isolated than you begin with, right? And then the 8th thing is be your own friend. It's a tough reality, but you're never going to make everyone like you, no matter what you do. But I think if you are so confident in who you are and what you like, and people are going to be attracted to that, 1. And secondly, you don't want to be around people who are closed-minded and not going to let you allow you to be who you are created to be. So hang out with God, hang out with yourself, find out what you like, find out what you like to do without the judgment of others. Honestly, I think when I started to really feel free was when I started painting. I mean, I think art is so beautiful in that way, where you can really take art and create and be expressive without judgment of yourself. Like, you can practice not judging yourself. I think that's where it started. And then the 2nd place was fashion for me. That really helped me kind of break through my shell and be able to kind of overcome some of those challenges that perfectionism can bring out in your life. And so if you are there, if you have a hard time with people pleasing and perfectionism and really just wanting people to like you, these are some really helpful things, and I'm going to put them in the show notes. And I'm so happy that you guys joined me today. I hope this was helpful. I love hanging out with you, and I will see you in the next episode. Thanks so much for listening and watching the You Are Covered podcast. Make sure that you are subscribed to whatever platform you love listening or watching to this show. It goes such a long way. I know it takes a few seconds to get there, but can you also make sure that you review the show on Apple Podcasts? It goes such a long way, and it just helps us build a community together in this digital space. So thanks so much ahead of time. And as always, God's got you and you are covered. Be blessed.